Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Conservative Daily Podcast. We are back on the air, and now your host, Max McGuire.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of the Conservative Daily Podcast. Taking your calls, if you want to call in, talk about the highlight of the Trump administration, what you thought he did excellent, what you'll remember him for. Call in 888-441-1121 if you want to join the call. This is kind of a group therapy session. It's a hard day for me. It's a very sad day. I know it's a sad day for everyone. We're going to bring each other together, and we're going to collectively talk about this and get through it together. But before we take any more calls, I want to play a video that I sent Mr. Producer. We talked about it in the first hour. This is how CNN covered Donald Trump's departure on Air Force One. So as I mentioned, it lined up with Frank Sinatra's My Way, but listen to the CNN anchors giggling, and then listen and watch how, as soon as it takes off, they immediately pivot to the church where Joe Biden is getting ready to be inaugurated. Let's go ahead and play that CNN video, Mr. Producer.
And surreally, the soundtrack that we continue to hear throughout these scenes is surreal, perhaps surreally appropriate.
What's wrong with glory?
Let's just watch in silence as this Air Force One takes off and the Trump family leaves Washington, leaves the seat of power.
Yes, it was
pathetic, huh? I mean, that's a powerful, moving moment. And I know that they planned that, right? That they planned to have him take off to that song. Because really, Donald Trump did it his way. Love him or hate him, he did it his way. No one will ever do it the way he did it. And frankly, there are times I wish he did it in a different way, right? We all agree that. But he wouldn't have accomplished the things if he didn't do it his way. Because everyone else who had tried never came close or never either even bothered. But I'm so struck by what should be a moving moment. And it was. It's a moving moment. Seeing Air Force One take off to that song. Hearing CNN's anchors thinking that they're muted, giggling at the thought. Some even giggling at the prospect of no longer having to cover Trump anymore. And then as soon as it's in the air, immediately pivoting to Joe Biden coverage. Immediately. Interesting stuff. So our phone line, 888-441-1121. We do have Scott on the line next. Scott, how's it going?
Pretty good, Max. I was trying to get through on topic when you were talking about some of the stuff in Washington, but I wasn't able to. It is a sad day. It's kind of surreal. But I mainly wanted to talk about, I was at the protest on the 6th in downtown Denver. Mm-hmm. And I was also at the reopening rally in late April down there, too. And there was some false flag stuff going on the 6th in Denver that I thought, I haven't heard anybody talk about, but it just kind of tied in with the Washington thing. It seemed like there was people trying to cause a ruckus with the crowd. Some Antifa type people were trying to come into the crowd at 14th and Colfax onto the Capitol lawn. And then one of the people that kind of was looking, trying to be a Trump supporter, although he didn't look like a Trump supporter. It was almost theatrical, almost like it was staged, getting in the faces of the Antifa Black Lives people.
Yeah.
Very animated, and the response back and forth felt very false. Nothing really happened. Then the gentleman that was supposed to be on our side that looked like a plant raised a taser over his head, starting lighting that off. Didn't actually tase the Black Lives people, but once he did that, that's when the state police showed up. And he ran into the crowd, and the crowd pretty much thought he was false flag and parted, like, you know, just parted around him, tried to throw the taser away. tried to disappear into the Trump supporter crowd. I think trying to draw the police in there and cause some type of a confrontation, but everybody just got out of his way, which I thought was, you know, some of the Trump people went across the street, went across Lincoln. As soon as Black Lives showed up, they all crossed back over to avoid any type of confrontation. So, and then
What do you think about Trump's administration? What do you think his greatest success was?
Well, there's lots of them. I called in mid-April during the shutdown. I mean, I'm a small business owner. I mean, we got the PPP money in 3 weeks. That's amazing. I mean, I've never seen the government respond to a crisis like that. And I think the fact that he put the banks in charge of it, for me, that was big. I mean, the wall, even though he was opposed at every turn on it, just getting half of it or a third of it built was amazing because he didn't have any support from his own party. The economy, of course. I was up 21% last year.
Yeah. We all had really good years.
Because it was great. And then this year, I mean, down 100,000, you know, down 22%. So, the whole thing was fantastic. I think he had a lot of successes. Deregulation, gas prices. I mean, I put gas in my car yesterday. First time I've seen premium going over $3 in 2 years.
Yeah, it's on its way up. It's going up now.
I'm concerned. Oh, yeah. First thing he's going to do is shut down the Keystone XL. That's one of the first things I heard they were going to do. I mean, it's sad. It really is.
Well, he's doing that today. Well, we have to let you go, Scott, because we have other people on the line. It's a very active call day. But thank you so much for the call. Really do appreciate it. We have Andrew on the line. Andrew wants to talk about what he thinks is Trump's greatest accomplishment over his 4 years. Andrew, welcome to the show. Do we have him? Mr. Producer? Oh, we might have lost him. Oh, here we go. Andrew, are you there?
Hey, yeah, I am. Let me mute you over here so I can
mute the phone
over there.
And tell us, talk about what you think his greatest accomplishment was. I mean, there's lots to name.
There is. But interestingly enough, as I told the producer, my wife's from El Salvador. She did come here illegally back in the Reagan days. But completely different. And a majority of her family and myself all feel that what he did with immigration and the wall was one of his greatest accomplishments. He actually worked with those three Central American countries to really try to make it a more civilized process and try to, take away some. The problem is, if anybody, I don't know you, I know you speak Arabic, so you probably have watched TV from other parts of the world. If anybody who watched Spanish TV, Spanish news, like real Spanish news, not Telemundo, but like the real Spanish news, they show everything there. I mean, it should come with a warning. If you knew how many people died in the deserts of Mexico, in the trip, how many people are killed, how many girls are kidnapped. What the liberals did to cause that migration, to try to get those people to go, to overwhelm the system, was this side of the evil, because they killed a lot of people and a lot of children in the process, and it never gets reported. And
I want to expand on that. I want to keep you on the line, but I want to expand on that a little bit for people who don't know what you're talking about. The Obama administration had a catch and release policy, but they had they were even more lenient for anyone who showed up at the border with a child. Basically, we have to keep the families together. That's what they said. That's what Biden's saying right now. When Trump came in, he got the briefings and he was informed that, as you said, this policy of giving leniency to anyone who shows up with a kid, not surprisingly, led to a lot of kids being abducted and kidnapped. So cartel members, smugglers, were using kids abducting kids, buying kids. There was even like underground markets in Mexico to buy kids to make it easier to get into the United States. And then they dump them once they get here because you got through and you've used them. So they just dump them in the middle of nowhere. What Trump did was he said, right. No, a kid is not automatically a get out of jail free card anymore. We're going to separate the kid and the parents and we'll go through the process of figuring out whether you're actually related and adjudicate your asylum claim. That sharply reduced child abductions in the area, kidnappings. It got rid of the black market trade, buying and selling kids, because it was no longer a get out of jail free card. What Biden wants to do now is saying, no, if we're going to go back. If you show up with a kid at the border, that means we're automatically going to assume you're related and we're going to let you in. We're not going to separate you. We're not going to throw you in jail. We're going to let you in. And what I fear is that, yeah, there's going to be a lot of kids who are abducted, a lot of kids who are left in the middle of the desert to die. That's not hyperbole. That's what they do. They have those kids just in case they come into contact with a Border Patrol agent. They can say we're a family. They can get into that fast track line, then they ditch them. But if they get through without encountering Border Patrol, they just leave the kids wherever. Or they'll bring them back and do it again. It's really, really sad.
And one of the other things that people don't realize is that, you know, so a lot of these coyotes, they use trucks to bring people up. And people often get this image of a truck in a desert, and it's honestly, it's more asphyxiation, because in this country, you can't be on a highway, a road, or whatever with a broken exhaust system. But you can in Mexico. You can be driving all over. If you ever go into outside of it, you'll hear trucks everywhere. They're loud because their pipes and their mufflers are broken. But that exhaust comes straight up into the bed. And if you've got a bed full of people, they're inhaling that stuff with a closed door and no ventilation system out of the top. And it is frequent down in Mexico to find, you know, rider-sized trucks with just bodies in it, because half the people died of asphyxiation. And people have no clue how many people die trying to get up here. And when you got places like Villages Without Borders, and it's actually the Spanish name, but I tell everybody what it is in English so they know. They go into these small villages and say, and tell them, if you go with your kids, this, you'll get this. They're pushing, they're promoting. It's left-wing Marxist groups, Casa de Maryland, and they're trying to get people to come up here, and they're trying to make bigger caravans, bigger groups, just like everything else the left tries to do. They try to overwhelm until it collapses.
And that group that you were mentioning, Pueblo Sin Fronteras, really, really dishonest what they do. I mean, they think that they're doing well, but it doesn't help anyone when you perpetuate this. I want to put up the screen while we keep you on the line. Put up my screen, Mr. Producer. This is what the end of the border fence looked like going into Trump's administration, where it goes from pedestrian fence to vehicle barriers. And the vehicle barriers, as you mentioned, are just to stop trucks from driving across. That is not a pedestrian barrier at all. A toddler could get through that. So Donald Trump, when they say, they lie and they say Donald Trump didn't build any new sections of wall. They say he only built in areas with existing barriers. That's because pretty much every section of the border had some kind of barrier. It's just a lot of it had this nonsense of the, the vehicle barriers. So they lie, but it's good that Trump did it. I'm very upset that Joe Biden is canceling the wall. I get that he doesn't want to build the wall, but to just stop construction in the middle of it, not only could that lead to a structural collapse if they haven't finished all of the footings, right? But that just basically means you get to the end of the wall and you just walk around it. I mean, this is where is how he wants to go. Final word before we let you go.
People need to understand that what they're about to do is going to overwhelm their schools. It's going to overwhelm their healthcare system. It's going to overwhelm all the social fabric. And when it does, this will be one of the key points that makes all of that just get 10 times worse over the next 4 years.
It's unfortunate, but we're going to have a lot of consequences from it. Well, thank you so much for the call. Really do appreciate it a lot. And again, our phone number is 888-441-1121. Talking about Trump's great accomplishments over his 4 years, venting a little bit on things we wish could have been better. This is a safe space. No, I'm kidding. But we're trying to make this positive. We're not going to show you Joe Biden getting sworn in because no one really wants to see that. So the caller, Andrew, mentions, he mentions that there's going to be consequences from this. And if you actually look at the old consent decree from years ago, I believe it actually was either in the H.W. Bush administration or the Reagan administration. It was in a case, I forget what it was called. Someone might know it in the comment section, in California, where they challenged the constitutionality and the legality of using like public school funds on illegal aliens. And the court ultimately found, and both parties agreed, court ultimately found that it isn't that bad to use public funds to teach illegal alien children in schools because it isn't that disruptive. That was actually the logic. Logic was, yeah, we shouldn't be doing it, but it's not that disruptive, so we're going to let it keep happening. And from there, we've gotten to this world where if you get into the country, you just get free public education. The problem is it's no longer like that. It's no longer a couple of kids in a grade. Now you have grades in some of these cities where no one actually speaks English. I mean, imagine that. Imagine you go into a city and every different nationality, all different languages, they're trying to figure out how to teach kids from all these different areas of the world, a lot of them here illegally. So the argument that it's okay because it isn't that disruptive no longer holds any sway. I mean, go into some of these schools. My wife taught in an inner city school. She didn't have to, I mean, there was a lot of Spanish speaking kids in her school. And I remember those nights where she's trying to basically explain to the parent on a parent teacher conference phone call that her kid is failing, but the parent doesn't speak English. My wife didn't speak Spanish and the kid had to translate to the parent. And I'm sitting there listening. I'm like, he's not telling her what you're saying. He's saying that he's doing a really good job. I mean, it's just hard, right? It's hard. So we're going to see a rush on social services. If this caravan and more like it end up breaching the border, we're going to see a big rush on social services in this country. And it's a shame. It doesn't have to be this way. And earlier today on our Facebook page, I was watching a little bit of the inauguration. And I just got so fed up. I turned it off and I just posted, Joe Biden is a liar. And the reason is because in his address, he said he was going to be a president for all Americans. That's what he said. I'm going to be president for all Americans. He also said, if you disagree with him, well, that's what democracy is all about. So he also said, if you don't like his policy, shove it. It's what we're going to do. If you look at his executive orders that he's planning to sign today, he's planning to sign tomorrow, none of it is actually going to benefit me. I mean, like, it's all like, oh, we're going to let the transgenders back in the military. We're going to open up the borders. We're going to end the travel ban. Right, we're going to make people on trains wear masks. If he really is a president for all Americans, you would think that his day one executive order would be tailored to all Americans. But no, each one is tailored to a specific interest group that the Democrats have cobbled together to make up their coalition. Right? I mean, there's going to be a reckoning in the Democrat Party once the African-American community realizes the consequence of giving 11 to 22 million illegal aliens citizenship. Once the black community realizes what is going to happen when they're all of a sudden competing for jobs against all these other people in the same low skill job environment, there's going to be complete bedlam. But no, the Democrats are going to try and cobble together and keep this coalition together, a coalition of people that, other than the fact that they hate Trump, don't really have a lot in common, and to give any of them what they want will hurt another one. It's amazing what the Democrats were able to accomplish in keeping that coalition together. We have another caller on the line, Jessica. She wants to talk about how Trump gave her spirit back. Jessica, welcome to the show.
Hey, Max. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, no problem.
Can you hear me? Oh, you can.
Yes,
okay,
we hear you.
Good. I think at the end of the day, you know, he accomplished a lot more than most previous presidents. You know, I would say him in my midlife years, let's put it that way. So I don't think that there's been any president that has accomplished more in my lifetime than he has. But at the end of the day, he really got our spirit back. I've never seen people so involved in wanting to see one person. I think he broke all the rules of being able to get into the White House. I mean, every other prior president was either somewhere up there in the swamp. He broke all the rules and got into office. I mean, that's just an amazing accomplishment in itself. And for everybody that's low-spirited, including myself, we have to put ourselves in his shoes for a minute, I think, and realize that imagine the torture every single day on all social media, with some exception, so a couple news networks that I can vouch for, but every other news network, they bullied him every single day.
Yeah, every day. Every minute of every day. Only president I've ever seen who has never, not once, been given the benefit of the doubt on anything. On anything. Anytime something came along the wire. Yeah. He did the book deal, the book interview with Bob Woodward. What did he think was going to happen? I mean, Trump did great. No, there's no taking that from him. But he got really bad advice from a lot of really bad people. And if he didn't have those people on staff, he could have been so much greater. Right. I mean, he never should have listened to Lindsey Graham doing that Bob Woodward book piece. Right. He never should have fired Steve Bannon. You go down the list of things that he was told to do by the career Republicans, the same kind of wing of the Republican Party you talk about that were always the next in line to be president, but never could win. And if they win, never actually did what they promised. No, he won. And there were powerful people within the Republican Party who wanted to stop him from accomplishing anything. And it's not just the names that we know about. It's a lot of people behind the scenes pulling the strings, too.
But he knows what he's got behind him. He knows that we're not leaving him. Let's just give him some time off and see where he wants to go with it, because we have our spirit back. I don't remember any time in my life that I've been researching the Constitution, and thank you for people like you that bring it to us and explain it to us, because we don't know anything about these laws and things like that that goes on up there in the swamp. So we're learning and we're getting our spirit back. What is America really about?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the old line. I believe it was Ronald Reagan who said the job of every American citizen is eternal vigilance. It's not just enough to vote. It's not just enough to attend a rally. This is a fight, not just for the future of the republic, but for the sustenance of our rights and liberties. Right? At any moment, our liberty, like our Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms, that is on the chopping block now. Right. Go down the list. Everything that we hold dear to ourselves, they want to either rescind or significantly roll it back. So this is something that I'm glad that it's woken up. Listen, it was called the silent majority. Trump was able to tap into a part of the country that had been so pissed off and fed up with politics that they didn't bother fighting. He's given them a fight. Absolutely. I hope that you're right. I hope that we can carry this spirit over. And that doesn't necessarily mean voting for Republicans. It might at that point mean voting for third party. But I hope that we can carry this fight over and people don't get exhausted and just check out.
Well, let's just give them a minute. Let's give them a minute and see where he
can
lead
us. Of all the people who deserve a day or two off, I think Donald Trump has absolutely earned it. Jessica, thank you so much for the call. Really do appreciate it. I want to put this up before we get to more callers. Mr. Producer, put up my screen. This was something that came across the wires yesterday, and it confused me at first, but now I understand why he did it. And the left is trying to make this out to be some kind of betrayal. Right before leaving office, Donald Trump revoked an executive order that he'd signed in the very early days of his presidency that banned anyone who worked in the administration from becoming a lobbyist. And that was one of his drain the swamp executive orders. This idea that when you come to work for Washington, you shouldn't then leave Washington and immediately be able to profit. It was a 5-year moratorium on lobbying. He rescinded that yesterday. And the mainstream media is making him out to be some kind of villain. Oh, look, they're saying, oh, look, he was corrupt from the start. He never actually meant it, never wanted to drain the swamp. He's filling in the swamp with more swamp creatures. I don't think so. I think what Donald Trump did yesterday was tactically, strategically, a very good move. Because this now allows his administration officials, his loyalists, the people that he had in his camp to get jobs at these lobbying firms and to put pressure on Republicans and Democrats to keep the Trump agenda alive. The last thing you want with Trump leaving the White House is for all of his advisors, all of his aides to leave with him. You need people to stay in Washington who over the last 4 years have learned about how things get done, and you need them to keep fighting. And in many cases, that requires them to become lobbyists. It's a dirty word, yes. But they need to lobby on behalf of this agenda. And if that executive order was in place, they would have been barred from doing it. So I understand why he did it. It's a bad look when people don't explain what it does. But ultimately, I think that this is something that's going to benefit the conservative movement, benefit the MAGA movement when all is said and done. So we have Chrissy on the line. Chrissy wants to talk a little bit about the Biden presidency. We'll let her on the line for a little bit. Don't want to get too down. But Chrissy, welcome to the show.
Hey, Max. How are you?
Pretty good. How you doing?
Well, you know, the best we can be doing right now.
Yeah.
As I was telling Josh, your last caller, the segue with that, the vigilance of the people is so important right now. And I was having a conversation with my husband last night because I am worked up over this. This is huge. This is a very big deal. It impacts our lives, and he doesn't think it does. And this affects all of us, the tax hikes, the raising in rent and mortgages, everything is going to come back and kick us in the teeth. And I feel like people don't realize how this is going to affect them on a day-to-day basis. The way you live your life, the way you have to budget your money, everything is different now, not to mention the tyranny.
Yeah, no, it's true. And I mean, we're going to experience this. We're going to feel a lot of it. It's not going to go unnoticed. It's not going to go unnoticed at all. But I want to just give an example of something that might go unnoticed, but it's going to do a tremendous amount of harm. So in the early days of the Trump administration, he signed an executive order reinstating what's called the Mexico City policy, which banned the federal government from sending any American taxpayer money to overseas organizations that perform or facilitate abortions. $8.8 billion was cut off from organizations that wanted to fund abortions overseas. We will never know how many lives were saved by that executive order. And we will never know how many lives will be lost when Joe Biden rescinds that executive order either today or tomorrow.
They don't want us to know.
They don't, but
they don't want just the God-fearing Christians of this world to know what they're doing in secret.
Yeah. Just because we can't put a number on it, though, doesn't mean that that one executive order, that one signature, did a tremendous amount of good. I mean, if Donald Trump accomplished nothing but save, I don't know, hundreds of thousands, millions of lives around the world from the scourge of abortion, if that was the only thing he did in his 4 years, I would consider...
But if I'm remembering correctly, he's overturning that, yeah?
Yeah, he's overturning. Biden will either overturn it today, tomorrow, or this week.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I almost dropped an F-bomb on you, Max. I'm sorry.
It's okay. He's going to overturn it, and he's also going to overturn the executive order that will let Planned Parenthood reacquire federal funding, too. So there's going to be abortions, a lot of abortions on American soil that are going to be facilitated, not directly funded, but facilitated through federal grants. It's a real thing. We can't put a number on it yet. We'll know in the coming months just how many it is. But there are innocent babies, innocent people who will die because of this new executive order that Biden's going to sign. And it's heartbreaking. But if the only thing we accomplished, as I said, was that we saved those unborn lives over the last 4 years, if we did nothing else, I would have considered this presidency to be a success.
So my question for you is, how do we rebuild? Where do we start as far as tearing down the government, like it says in our Constitution, when it's no longer of the people, by the people, and for the people? Where do we start as American citizens to tear this down?
So that is, I don't know if I have the answer today. I don't know if I have the answer today. There's a lot that we need to do, and I think everyone knows there's a lot that we need to do. The Republican Party, for better or for worse, now are the only bulwark against Biden's lunacy and insanity. So we need the Republicans, but we also don't want them long term. So we are going to have to get rid of some Republicans. John Thune of South Dakota, got to go. Liz Cheney of Wyoming, got to go. These are people that are entrenched
in
heavily red districts.
Like 60% of them
need to go. Yeah. No, I don't know if it's that much, but it's a lot. It's a lot. I think that ultimately there is more good than bad in the Republican Party in Congress from the actual membership. I do think that a lot of the problem really does rise to the top. And I'm not even talking about Mitch McConnell. John Thune. Go ahead.
Do you think that behind closed doors at the Capitol building that there were threats made? Why did all of these Republicans flip the script just in that amount of time?
I don't know. I still don't know. Obviously, there had to have been, because they all abandoned ship. They didn't do that on their own. And it was Mitch McConnell's office who came out and made the announcement that there weren't going to be any more objections, basically suggesting that they made sure of it. So something was done. Something was threatened. Someone was forced. I don't know if we'll ever know. Eventually, we probably will know. But that was absolutely top down from the Republican Party. And we saw this yesterday when you get off the phone line. We'll play a clip from the Tucker Carlson show last night where he broke the news that Mitch McConnell called Donald Trump and threatened to actually have the Senate convict him if he dared pardon Julian Assange. So I do think that there's a lot of that kind of backroom dealing where the Republicans never really wanted Trump. They would have been more than happy to have Clinton, because then they could have kept being an opposition party, fundraising on promises they never had any intention of fulfilling. That's what the Republican Party wanted to do in 2016. They were dragged kicking and screaming actually have to work with the president.
All right, Max. Well, I appreciate your time. I'll let you get back to it. I look forward to seeing that clip.
All right. Well, thank you so much for the call. Really do appreciate it. Our phone number is 888-441-1121. Go ahead and give us a call if you want. We're talking about Donald Trump's accomplishments. And if we want to get a little Debbie Downer, we can talk about how bad Biden's going to be. But want to try and keep it uplifting as much as possible. Ms. Producer, I sent you over a video earlier today of that Tucker Carlson segment last night. Let's go ahead, and if you can, I'll vamp a little bit to give you time to pull it up. Let's pull that up and let's play that video of Tucker Carlson breaking the news that the Republicans, at least Mitch McConnell, threatened to convict Donald Trump during his impeachment trial if he dared pardon Julian Assange. Let's go ahead and play that clip, Mr. Producer.
And in both cases tonight, as one of his final acts as president, Donald Trump has the opportunity to make that right, to pardon both of them. We told you that last night. We told you it before. We're hearing tonight that neither man, particularly Julian Assange, we don't know if this is true, is likely to get a pardon. Why? Well, apparently because Republicans in the Senate, and by Republicans in the Senate, we mean Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, the leader of Republicans in the Senate, has sent word over to the White House, if you pardon Julian Assange, we are much more likely to convict you in an impeachment trial. Now, is it legal to hold that over a president's head? We're not lawyers. We don't know. It's certainly wrong. But more than that, it tells you everything about their priorities. At a time when this country in some ways is coming apart, we're at a pivot point in American history. And if you're watching this show, you probably feel pretty threatened, and for good reason. There are people on the other channel saying they're going to hunt you down like a terrorist. At that moment, what is Mitch McConnell, your designated defender in the United States Senate, worrying about? He's worrying about protecting the uniparty in Washington, not his party and the Democratic Party in permanent Washington. They're the reason both these men have been locked up, because both these men embarrassed permanent Washington.
Let's cut it there. So, main story, Mitch McConnell allegedly calling up Donald Trump and saying that the Senate is much more likely to convict you in a bogus impeachment trial if he decides to pardon Julian Assange. Now, Donald Trump did not pardon Julian Assange. There are no such thing as secret pardons. I mean, I guess technically the president could secretly pardon someone. The problem with that is if you secretly pardon someone, then how do you actually clean the record? Right? I mean, you can't really, if someone's in jail, you can't really secretly pardon them, because you have to tell the guy, the warden in charge of the jail. You have to tell the lawyers. It's not feasible to have a secret pardon, because if you don't actually put it into writing, memorialize it, people can just say it didn't happen and lock you right back up and say, oh, you must have escaped, right? There's no real secret pardons. He didn't pardon Julian Assange. Tucker Carlson said he didn't know if that was legal or not. That's a CYA moment for him. It is very much not legal. It is illegal. What Mitch McConnell did, if that is true, is extortion. It is blackmail, specifically blackmail, right? We will do this to you if you do this. So you better not do this, or else we'll do this to you. Textbook blackmail. That is criminal if that conversation happened, which kind of shows you, I mean, how insane is this? They're having a trial against Donald Trump in the Senate for a non-crime. Donald Trump cannot have incited a crime. We cover this on the show. It does not, what he said does not rise to the legal or constitutional standards to say that he incited a riot. But we also covered on the show how the FBI, DOJ now says it was pre-planned. You cannot randomly incite a riot that other people have been planning for weeks without your knowledge. You can't square that circle. But they're going to have a trial against for a non-crime. Just like the last impeachment, this one's going to be for a non-crime. Interestingly enough, if Mitch McConnell did that, then he committed a crime. That is blackmail. Like, I'm sure he could find a way to weasel out of it. But that is more blackmail than what Donald Trump is being inciting a riot. But, I mean, I guess that's the Republican Party. They'd rather keep Julian Assange under investigation than do the right thing. Who knows? Zach's on the phone. Zach wants to talk about how Trump played the Democrats more than people realize. Zach, welcome back to the show.
Hello, hello. So the biggest thing...
How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling like I hope people don't lose their hopium. Not necessarily the false hopium, but the actual hope of we can actually do something to make the nation better. Because what if you guys lose hope and stop fighting now, everything that Trump went through for the last 4 years is for nothing. Just keep that in the back of your brain as everyone.
I don't think anyone wants to just completely give up. But this is a tough day. Harder than it is for us. Honestly, I know people listening, they still like it. It's much harder for the people like Lynn Wood, who promised, and then never really delivered what they promised. I mean, those opium dealers, I never want to hear anything from those opium dealers again, because I feel like I got conned by some of it, kind of getting caught up in the opium.
A lot of people did it. But I think those people were the establishment GOP, Max. I mean, it's the false flags, right? Like, they were planted to try and give these people the hope, because what they're hoping is that hope, now that it's been dashed across the rocks, that people get so discouraged that they just feel like they can't do anything. Everything's just going to go the way of the dodo. And it's going to be a bad time for America for the next however long they can control elections.
That's how the GOP operates.
Really what I feel
GOP,
like it was.
The GOP truly believes that they can outlast your memory. And by that, I mean, they truly believe that they can stab you in the back. And by the time you realize it, enough time will have passed where you'll be giddy about writing their name or voting for them the next time they're on the ballot or sending them a campaign check. I mean, we get this from Lindsey Graham every couple of years. He went from Lindsey Grahamnesty to anti-Trump to pro-Trump to then saying, I'm done with Trump, right? We see this from all of them. They truly think that you will stop caring before they need your vote again. And it's up to all of us to not get discouraged, not lose faith, keep fighting, and yes, to make sure that they know that we haven't forgotten. And if you want to win back our vote, you need to win it back. You don't deserve anything. They deserve nothing from us. Not a single cent in donations, not a single vote, no support. I don't want to get another text from Lindsey Graham asking for $5. I swear, if I get another one, I'm going to hit the roof. It's possible for them to earn our votes back. We're going to need them. I don't think he really did.
But
I think that...
That's what I'm saying, is he appeared to change and like Trump, because Lindsey Graham's not an idiot. He knows that Trump was very liked amongst the Republican Party, but I don't think he ever really liked Trump. He just went along with the agenda.
I think that there were times where Lindsey Graham was legitimately frustrated. I think what they did to Brett Kavanaugh, I think if you go back and watch the tape of how Lindsey Graham was talking about how shame on the Democrats, they don't deserve to have power, and I pray to God they never will. I think a lot of that was organic. I do think that there were moments of the last 4 years where Lindsey Graham organically sounded like a conservative. The problem is that deep down, he's still someone who believes in things like comprehensive immigration reform, of having trade deals that don't benefit Americans, benefit foreign countries, right? He's still in that wing of the GOP, that old guard establishment wing. It's
And he could have stopped the Mueller report. That's another thing no one talks about. Remember Graham being like, let's just let it play out. They're being so fair. We'll just let them do their thing. We'll let the investigation go and do all it's supposed to do. Like, that was him saying that, Max.
Yeah. Yeah. Remember, he was a lead co-sponsor, I believe, lead co-sponsor on the bill to protect Robert Mueller from being fired. Like, just look back in 2017. We lost months, years, because the GOP was more interested in chasing down these non-existent Russian trolls, Russian collusion, than they were in actually implementing the Trump agenda, which if they actually were on board with a conservative agenda, they would have just said, screw it, we're just going to do it. Because the Democrats aren't going to drag Hunter Biden up to the stand. They're not going to drag any Ukrainian business dealings or Chinese business dealings. They're just going to ignore that and try and ram their agenda down our throat. The Republicans, I mean, part of it, I think, is ADD, but part of it is also they don't want to work on the things that they promise. So they're so willing to just get distracted by anything around them. It's but no, you're right. We need to have hope. We need to keep fighting, and we need to fight in a way that makes sure that Republicans know that we're not going to forget what they did. And if, as I said, if they want our votes, they need to earn them.
Dems are giddy with the split in the Republican Party right now, because you look at people like Matt Gaetz or Bobart that just came in from Colorado, and that's the new face of the Republican Party that's going to start becoming the majority in Washington. Now, it all depends on elections and finding people who are actually like that, that aren't just saying they're like that, but that is going to be the new transition in the fight for power, because you're going to see those people, if they get outcast by the Republican Party, there's going to be a new, just like the Dems who are going to be outcast from the Dem Party, there's going to be people who are looking for a home, and I think you will see people come together. It's going to take time. I mean, everything is going to take time.
Oh, well, yeah.
But what Trump, the 5D chess move from Trump is that he started it. I mean, everyone was looking for, he's going to come in and he's going to save everybody and still be president. And it's like, what Trump did was created the narrative, firstly, that the mainstream media is not our ally. I mean, the Julian Assange thing is a perfect example. He's one that could stop the swamp government. And now you see Democrats and Republicans in the swamp that are like, no way. He has intel connections. There is no way you can let that guy back out in the public, because he's going to be Project Veritas times 100. Because he's actually got the inside confidential information that people are giving him.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know. We'll see what happens, but there is still hope as long as people don't get ADD. I mean, just like the election stuff, of all the rules that they changed. Okay, maybe you can go ahead and say that fraud doesn't exist, but there were changes to the election that enabled systems to be exploited more than we've ever had in the past in the United States. That is, there's no argument about that. That happened.
Yeah, certainly left it more vulnerable to certainly, we can't say that it was exploited. That would be a violation of YouTube's terms of service. But we can absolutely say that these changes, without a doubt, historically, you look at the Carter report that came out in the late 70s, early 80s, late 70s, absolutely, without a doubt, they enacted election changes that left, at least hypothetically, the system more vulnerable to hijinks. Let's just call it that. Yeah, no, I mean, we can't forget that. We should all be pounding on our legislative doors, legislature's doors, to make sure that this never happens again. I mean, that's part of the fight. We're in the fight for our lives over the next 2 years, not only to make sure that Joe Biden isn't able to accomplish the things that he wants to, because they're horrid, but also to make sure that the things he exploited are not left in place the next time there's an election. Absolutely. Last word before we let you go.
Keep the hope, guys. Don't lose hope and keep fighting, because it's not over. This is only the beginning. And when you lose hope, you lose the battle. We may have lost the battle, but we didn't lose the war.
Yeah. Well, that's a great point. Thank you so much for the call, Zach. Really do appreciate it. Lots of people in the comments section are mentioning a split in the Republican Party would be bad. People saying that having a third party would be bad. I don't necessarily agree. I think at the national level, if you tried to put forward a presidential candidate who was a Trump party, or what he says, the Patriot Party, which Patriot Party I think would be bad, because I think there was historically a Patriot Party that was communist. So we might need a different name. But if there was a third party, I think it would be very bad to put that at the Senate level or to put that at the presidential level. But if we want to strategically target Republicans. If we cannot primary them, I think that a strong third party could be effective in going after GOP leadership. And I'll tell you what I mean. We've explained it a lot. Liz Cheney, Wyoming representative, the third most powerful Republican in the United States House of Representatives, might change soon. Apparently, there's more than half of the Republican caucus wants her removed, God willing. She won her election in 2020 with, I believe, around 68% of the vote. 68% of the vote. That's a lot of the vote. Her Democrat challenger received 24-25% of the vote. Now, hear me out. If those percentages stay the same, if you introduce a third party into that seat, into that district in Wyoming, there is no possible way to split the 68% among two people and have a Democrat win. Think about that. Democrats at 25%. There is no way to 8% among two people and have neither of them come out as number one. Meaning that even if the third party doesn't win, she would at least still hold the seat, which isn't good, but it wouldn't go Democrat. There's lots of districts around the country that are like that. Even some Senate races. You look at John Thune in South Dakota. That's ripe for the picking. That's one where you could split him and not risk a Democrat taking over as long as the Democrat share of the vote stays the same. You start looking around the country at the Republicans who are these rhinos, establishment Republicans, taking advantage of dark red districts to maintain their power, where they're getting 65, 75, 80%, sometimes even running unopposed. Yes, sometimes running unopposed. They are ripe for the picking. And a strong third party targeting them with money behind it. Realize it's going to take a lot of money. These things aren't won cheap, right? It takes money. It takes advertising. It takes GOTV. Get out the vote. It's going to take money. But targeting a few of them, which I've heard that's what Trump wants to do. He wants to go after the GOPers who didn't have his back. Which, listen, that might be vengeful, but he has every right to do it. He has every right to be pissed about it. I would if I was him. So in that regard, I think a targeted third party going against Republicans entrenched in bright or dark, however you want to call it, red districts, where there is no risk of a Democrat winning if you split that vote, I absolutely agree with that. I do not agree with running a Republican candidate, a third party candidate for president, because then you have the Ross Perot effect and you have Bill Clinton winning without a majority of the vote. I mean, every time that there has been a third party taking a lot of votes. I mean, we heard about in 2016, they hated Jill Stein for it. They blamed Jill Stein for the Trump presidency. We do not have a ranked choice voting system in this country, and I don't want to have one. I don't like ranked choice voting. I think the only thing with ranked choice voting is you get a lot of people's second and third choices. You don't get people's first choices. So we don't have a parliamentary system. We have a first past the post system in the United States, where when all the voting is cast, whoever has the most votes, even if they don't go over 50%, they win. So we have to play by those rules. We have to play by those rules smart and go after the seats that we can win and try our hardest to get good Republican candidates in the seats that are competitive. We got time for one or two more callers, 888-441-1121. I'll also leave this open for anyone listening to the podcast after the fact. Call 888-441-1121, and we'll make sure that if you leave a message talking about the successes of the Trump administration, we'll make sure that we include them in tomorrow's podcast. So we've been saying that. We haven't gotten around to playing any of the recorded messages, but I'll say it right now again. If you leave a message about your favorite moment of the Trump presidency, as long as it's on topic and doesn't have a bunch of F-bombs or anything in it, we'll play it tomorrow. That is a promise. So again, 888-441-1121. Call now or leave a message after the fact and record your message. I think if I had to, I mean, I've been asking all of you what your favorite moment of the Trump presidency is. I had a hard time figuring out. So I copied. Trump had a list of all of his accomplishments on the White House page. So I copied that down yesterday. I said, you know what? We're going to make today's show really positive and we're going to show this. Ms. Brewster, go to my screen. This is what that page looks like right now. And for everyone listening, it's 404 page not found. The URL is whitehouse.gov/Trump-administration-accomplishments. This was down minutes after Joe Biden taking office. They took it down. Gone. Non-existent. Now, it's going to be eventually, hopefully, archived, because every presidency gets an archived version of the White House site the way it looked on their last day in office. But right now, if you want to go to the White House site seeing the Trump list of accomplishments, you can't find it because the Biden administration took it down. Luckily, we do have archived versions of it. If you type that URL into Google, not into your actual search bar, but into a Google search bar, whitehouse.gov/Trump-administration-accomplishments, you type that, search Google, you can then get a cached version. It looks like this, not really that much fun, not cool to look at, but you get the cached version of the text. You can also go to archive.org and they have what it looked like yesterday before they took it down. So we were going to go through this. I'm glad we took calls. I highly recommend, I'll put the link in the comment sections right now. Just post it on Facebook, just post it on DLive, and now posting it on YouTube. That's a great way you can get an archive of it, and I'll pin it on Facebook to make sure it's there for people. I mean, obviously, the jobs numbers are huge. What he was able to accomplish before the China plague, huge. I mean, there was not a demographic in America that could point to another moment in history in the last century where they had better employment numbers. It's not possible. Every single person. I think women, it was like almost the best, like a tiny bit, but every other demographic, it was the best employment numbers they had ever seen. Like what Trump was able to accomplish in the first 3 years of his presidency, unparalleled. China virus and the Democrat-imposed lockdowns that followed destroyed it. Destroyed it. Donald Trump will join, I think it's just FDR, as it might not even be FDR, he joins Hoover as the only president to leave office with fewer jobs than he went into it. George W. Bush might have, no, I think George Bush was still a net positive, but it was down from just before. So the deregulation is huge, right? The trade deals are huge. Absolutely huge. America first, what he did for the farmers after they were targeted by China. Energy independence. I mean, I'm just reading the list, but it's all true. The United States became the world's leading producer of oil and natural gas. Who thought that would ever be possible? That was possible through the technology of fracking, hydraulic fracturing. We're not going to get into a whole lot here, but hydraulic fracturing, all that means is it's just we don't have a big enough deposit of oil or natural gas to just siphon all out, but we have lots of little deposits, so we're going to fracture the earth, basically create some space for all those pockets to get into a bigger pocket and suck it out that way. So it's not economically viable to drill into each of the smaller pockets, but if you fracture the earth, you can join it all together and suck it all out at once. That's a very explain it like I'm five explanation of what hydraulic fracturing is. I'm sure there's people who are in that industry who say I got it wrong, but that's basically the gist of it. That was huge. Absolutely huge. Investing in America's workers. Huge. The China virus. I mean, he's going to get a bad rap for this historically. They're going to say, oh, he knew and he lied. No, Anthony Fauci lied. Anthony Fauci lied when he said, don't wear a mask. We need to save them for health professionals. When he should have been saying, everyone wear a mask. It's helpful, right? He lied. But Trump won't be remembered for Operation Warp Speed. He won't be remembered for any of that. As one of the callers said, unfortunately, he's probably going to be remembered for that storming of the Capitol, which he did not incite. It was pre-planned. So we go ahead and take this down the screen. I highly recommend people go through that. It's a long list. Way too long to read. Way too long to read today. But I highly recommend that you go through it because there's just tons of examples. The thing that I am happiest about Trump, what Trump did, I mean, there's a lot there, but I mean, what he did with the Supreme Court, what he did with the court system, making sure that so many of them were packed, that we got so many judges onto those seats, huge. Now, at the same time, for all of the promises that Mitch McConnell said that we're not going to leave a single seat vacant, right now, unless I'm mistaken, there is one appeals court position closed. Now, granted, that's someone who died in late October. so it wasn't foreseen. But Donald Trump did nominate a successor. And again, talking about Lindsey Graham said they didn't have enough time to confirm her. So we have one appeals court opening, and I believe there's 40 some odd district court positions left vacant that Mitch McConnell did not fill. Added up all together, I believe it's 7.9% of the total number of district court seats are vacant for Joe Biden to fill. I mean, Donald Trump filled a ton, right? Three Supreme Court justices. Absolutely huge. That will have a lasting impact on the country. No doubt about it. And he filled district court seats, right? He filled appeals court. All the other federal courts that we don't even have time to get into because they're really technical, like the trade courts and things like that. Trump filled them with good conservative jurists. He did. I mean, we can hate the Supreme Court for not taking the election cases, but by and large, Trump put good people onto the Supreme Court. We're not going to agree with him on everything, but we'll agree with him a hell of a lot more than anyone Joe Biden or Hillary Clinton would have put on. But I want to make sure everyone knows, even though Mitch McConnell promised it wouldn't happen, there are vacancies. He left vacancies. Joe Biden will be able to add people that Donald Trump should have added, but the Senate never got around to doing it because they're too busy talking about how bad Trump is, right? They have time to open the floor for speeches condemning Trump for inciting a riot, but they don't have time to actually confirm the judges. But listen, I mean, that's par for the course with the Republican Party. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of the Conservative Daily Podcast. I hope that you liked the show. Trying to provide a little bit of feel good. It was a little Debbie Downer at parts, but ultimately I do think that when you add up everything Donald Trump accomplished, even where he fell short, and listen, that's not a criticism. We're all imperfect. We're all human. No one's perfect, though Donald Trump probably would say he is. And I say that in jest, lovingly. No one's perfect. No one's perfect. I think that what Donald Trump accomplished, without a doubt, made this country better, made this country safer, brought this country closer together, brought this country closer to God than any other president in at least my lifetime. And I haven't studied a president from before I was born that I think would have held a candle to Donald Trump, at least in the modern era. You start going back to George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, I think it'd be a good competition between the two. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of the Conservative Daily Podcast. If you like the podcast, I will say again, make sure that you subscribe to the audio version of the podcast. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Podbean, all great places. We're working out some deals on sponsors. They're trying to nickel and dime us. It'll be fine. We'll get running with them. But the way we prove the numbers and get paid more for the show so we can expand the show and make it bigger, bring in more special effects, lasers, explosions, things like that, we have to prove the numbers. And the way we do that is by you signing up, downloading and subscribing to the audio version of the podcast, because those download numbers are the most trusted. So please do check out the links in the description and subscribe if you haven't already. And if you have an Apple device, make sure you leave us a good review on Apple Podcasts. Very important. We go live Monday through Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern on Facebook, YouTube, and DLive. Make sure you check out the links in the description. Like, follow, and subscribe to us at all those places. Text FREEDOM to 89517. The word FREEDOM to 89517. You'll get a text alert when we go live. That's how we get around Facebook and YouTube's blocking of the notifications. You can also join our email newsletter using the link in the description. When we finally get back onto Parler, you can follow us at Conservative Daily. And we are on Rumble, rumble.com/user/Conservative Daily. Make sure you head over there and subscribe to us there. So that's going to be it for this edition of the podcast. I know it's a tough day. I hope we made it a little bit better. And I hope we can keep our head up high that Donald Trump did the best he could do and he made the country better for it. Again, my name is Max McGuire. Remember, everyone, as dark as it seems today, the fight is not over, but the only way we take back this country is if we all stand and fight together.